This week on the podcast, it's just us boys, and we have to ask the question, were we wrong about Star Citizen? That almost rhymed. That was almost a poem. I give some constructive feedback on the game called Alone in Hell, and we have some news from Nintendo and Sony. All of that and more in this week's episode of the podcast. Roll the intro. But that wasn't quite scatting. That wasn't quite beatboxing. What the fuck was that?
I call that mouth or no, wait. Oral jazz aerobics.
Oral jazz aerobics.
It sounded like a case of tinnitus.
More like a quesadilla, because that motherfucker was hot and cheesy.
I was half expecting you to start foaming at the mouth and shaking, so...
I almost did. I can't go that hard for too long.
Hello, and welcome to Next to Nothing, a podcast for gamers on a budget. I'm your host, Danny K. With me, as always, the wonderful, the beautiful, the Mr. Green Elite. Green Elite, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm spending my time... off of Twitch, my regular stream has been canceled until the unforeseeable future, because my upload speed keeps tanking repeatedly, and my ISP set an appointment on Saturday, and then that has changed to Friday because I told them I want it as soon as possible, because there's like some sort of power issue going through the lines, and I don't know what that means, and I don't know if they're gonna actually fix it when that appointment rolls around. I mean, and I personally think the only way to fix it is to just tear it down and rebuild,
right? Gorbachev, tear down this ISP.
Exactly. It's like they just need to replace all the wiring, wire it correctly, because the fucking wiring is going through my vents of my home. That's how they wired it. Who does this?
No.
Yes, that is how shitty my ISP is. And they're like, well, it's not our fault. Like, I don't know where this is coming. I don't know where these issues are coming from. Like, we know where the issue is coming from. You installed the wiring incorrectly from a contractor, and now you don't want to replace it. So that's the issue. Fix it. But, we're moving anyway, so as long as I can get it limping until September, I'm fine with that. So,
but your wiring will never get cold in the wintertime, and it'll never get hot in the summer.
That's the downside. True.
We're also joined by the spooky and the ukulele, the Mendachi. Mendachi, how are you doing today?
Man, I am spooky as hell today. I've got my sick ass never sleep again tank top. I got my Dead Man Clothing company hat. Oh man, we're just living in the spooky. I just watched Lighthouse for like the third time with Aaron, and those of you that listen to podcasts for two people, wow, what a surprise. She absolutely hated it. What a fantastic movie, and I can't wait to see the new Eggers film, The Northman, hopefully this weekend. Otherwise, I too struggle with the ISP issue. I'm actually switching my ISP tomorrow, so I can hop out of the hellscape that is my current situation and join Green in his, though possibly not have the same issues.
Join us in the hell.
I will. I plan to. I hope that it's at least slightly cooler than the hell that I'm currently in. I didn't stream at all last week because I couldn't even stay in a multiplayer game with Brent or with Vic. So I chose to just hang out and chill and vibe. So hopefully things change. But yeah, so streams are tentative for this week. Hopefully after Wednesday, I can kind of test some things out, see what happens. And yeah, hopefully better, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, am I the only one that can like stream at a somewhat consistent basis? Is that what's going on here?
I guess. Yeah, you're the real one out of all of us. We're all just posers.
And you don't even stream.
I do.
Sheesh.
I do stream. Anyways, thanks for watching and listening to the show. If you missed any part of the show, you guys can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to join us live, you can find us on Twitch every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. If you guys want to be a part of the show, you can answer the question of the week. This week, we're asking something very simple and very not complex at all, or very difficult. What is the greatest TV show of all time? Mindachi.
Oh man, you had to start with me. Yeah. Man, that is so damn hard. Because for me, it tends to change. The first one that really comes to mind, though, is Warrior. Warrior is super great, based on the writings of Bruce Lee, kind of compiled by his daughter Shannon Lee, and it follows Assam, who is a new immigrant to America by way of San Francisco from Hong Kong, and he is here to try and find his sister, who has been mixed up with a gang, and he too ends up mixed with a rival gang. And there's a shitload of hip hop. There's some of the best fight scenes that I've ever seen choreographed on screen. The writing's also good, and it is just bloody amazing. That's currently available on HBO Max, and it was a Starz production. So now people are actually watching it. I highly recommend it. There's two seasons right now.
Green, what's the greatest TV show of all time?
Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's the greatest show of all time, and you can't argue any differently. Damn. It's got amazing character development. The animation's beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, the only issue is the aspect ratio, because I couldn't convert it. But it's still glorious and nostalgic and thought-provoking. And Legend of Korra leads after that. And then that show's good. It's not as good as the original, but you know, it's a good, solid foundation, good plot, and just it's glorious. And we also have Uncle Iroh, who is like the surrogate father of many people.
I love him.
Yeah,
it's just so precious.
I was trying to think of like a proper answer to this, and I really don't have one. So I'm gonna kind of lead in with I'm gonna say South Park. I think South Park, for how long it's run and how how topical it always has been in the production, and how they put out a quality product for years and years and years in like 6 days, South Park deserves to be the greatest TV show of all time.
And there have been so many writers on that show that are very, very famous now, like big comedians. I believe Bill Hader was on that project too, at one point writing for South Park.
Yeah.
So like a lot of creative geniuses have came and went via South Park, and yeah, and South Park rocks.
Yes, South Park rocks.
No, Family Guy.
Ugh, Family Guy. Ugh. Look, people can enjoy what they enjoy, but Family Guy is pretty low tier in my opinion. Okay. Let's we just kind of have to, you know, lean into it. Mm-hmm. Were we wrong about Star Citizen? We got some comments on the last video. Let's address those comments. Well, first, actually, I'm going to start with Green, because you have a little update. I feel like we need to start with Green because you have the
I was talking about the Open Fly Week, where you can try out the game, test the game, and they hold those every so often. I said that there was one in February of this year, which there was, and there is another one coming out, and it's actually coming out on May 20th.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, from this time of recording as of 5/17, it is in 3 days. So you can download the game, try the game, not pay a penny for it, and see if you like it. Which is I definitely think you should do, because it is fun when you learn how to play it.
Okay. Mindachi,
Man, I was so wrong, Danny. Oh, everything I said was a lie.
Okay.
My career is in shambles.
Real quick,
Yes.
I just want to confirm that as you go through the points that you were wrong on, you do have, in fact, a cat of nine tails to just whip yourself, right?
I have actually subbed for wrapping. You can't see it, but from my webcam, everything below my beard is actually wrapped in barbed wire. I will frequently move like so in order to shoot gouts of blood onto the floor, which will be collected in pails and sent to the fans and those who love Star Citizen so much. As a sort of recompense. I am so sorry for attacking the thing that you love so much.
Well, let's be fair, because we didn't actually get anything that was that vicious.
No.
We are very much being hyperbolic.
Yeah,
we're being dramatic.
It's a bit. Yeah. Okay, it's a bit.
I just want to make sure because the people who did comment, if they do come back and like, wow, we weren't that mean. You guys are just being thin-skinned. No, we're just being dramatic. We're just being hyperbolic.
Yeah.
You guys...
Oh, the drama! Yeah. End scene.
End
I live for it.
Yeah, so there were like a couple of things. I'll let Mendachi go through them real quick.
Yeah. So yeah, that being out of the way, I do want to say thank you very much to the people that did comment, particularly one YouTube user whose first name is just Seth, or perhaps that's just a screen name. Either way, thank you so much, Seth. You had an amazingly in-depth, and when I say amazingly in-depth, I mean 8-9 paragraphs of not necessarily corrections, but things that actually went alongside with the notes that I had actually made on last week's episode, and some corrections. So the corrections that I did want to say were that Kevin Spacey was actually in Advanced Wars Advanced Warfare. Sorry, yeah, not tanks. Yeah, COD, which was essentially the motion capture for Kevin Spacey's like opening kind of bit was compared to John Hurt's bit for Cloud Imperium Games trailer for Squadron 42, which was actually originally supposed to be part of Star Citizen. And this is where I got confused. There's a ton of A-list actors that are part of Squadron 42, which after the fact ended up becoming its own thing, but was slated to be a part of Star Citizen. Most of everything else, I believe, we had actually said was more or less on the mark. I would say that if I were to really go into Seth's comments and deal with that, it would be to make an exceptionally finite surgical slice. It's very precise. We just don't have that kind of time to give you this very, very analytical breakdown of the background of the development of Star Citizen and the... the actual controversy behind Cloud Imperium Games and the bringing up of Star Citizen and its projects. All that information is out there for you guys. I had said my piece. I stand by it, and I remain confident in everything that I say. But if I'm ever wrong, just know that I'm not straight up lying to you. I do believe what I say that comes out of my mouth when I say it. That being said, I welcome any correction anytime on any episode or any podcast that I'm on. Absolutely. And you can put it in the comments below. You can email it to me. You can tweet at me at @OnlyMendachi anywhere. It is always welcome. And despite my incredibly overdramatic bit there at the beginning, I actually really appreciated this. And I also really appreciate, for the most part, there not being any sort of, I would say, overly aggressive or overly defensive kind of comment or take on what I had brought to last week's episode. So yeah, good on you guys. That's so awesome. And thank you so much for listening to the episode. And if you came back to hear this, just know that I'm thankful. And, you know, if you love Star Citizen, if you've been playing it since it actually went into alpha and you continue to play it. I hope that it's an amazing experience for you and it keeps being that way. I try not to shit and piss all over everyone's parade because I just like to see it when people have fun. But for those listeners of our show that are unaware of Star Citizen, I feel that as part of talking about a project that is this big, it's important to hit all of the key notes, whether that's the good notes or the bad. And you'll also see that in the game reviews that I do in the future or any other piece of news that I tackle here on Next to Nothing. But again, I appreciate it. And please come back at us with anything you got anytime. I love you.
Yeah. And I'm just going to kind of round out this conversation real quick about, I've seen this before with Star Citizen. In particular, where people are like, well, if this was being developed by Bethesda, you wouldn't know or the bugs wouldn't get fixed. And I just want to point out real quick that that's not a defense of Star Citizen. If anything, that is really holding it back. It's holding those developers back and it's allowing you to not hold them accountable by comparing them to a different developer who has a completely different set of tools, who has a completely different history, and also doesn't have millions of dollars in crowdsourcing behind them, right? And one thing I want to be like, you know, sympathetic to is I do know that people put a lot of money into Star Citizen through the Kickstarter and all the other campaigns and stuff like that. And I understand that that's going to produce a lot of bias because you are putting your back into it, but you can't dismiss... You first off can't just like compare it to Bethesda because they're completely different companies in a completely different situation. But you also can't like then just also shirk off the fuck the haters, you know, kind of because we saw that too, like ignore the haters. Mm-hmm. People are going to review the product and they're not going to like it or they are going to like it. And you can't just say disregard the people that don't like it, right? Because everyone has their personal taste. And I think that's incredibly damaging, and I think it's not a correct way to look at products. Because that's what Star Citizen is, that's what video games are. They are products to be bought and sold by consumers, and consumers and reviewers have a right to express their opinions on that. So,
it's also just kind of what Next to Nothing is about. It's for gamers on a budget. So, you know, if we see issues with something here or we think that someone might have an issue with a product, we're going to highlight that and not leave any stone unturned because that's what this show is about. It's not just a gaming news and reviews podcast. It's to help you as a consumer and as a hobbyist make the right decisions before you take the plunge.
Yeah.
And again, it could come from like a cost-sunk fallacy or, you know, the use of a straw man argument. But obviously, a lot of things are just based on opinions. And like, that's just your opinion, man. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. But no, again, we want to thank the people who did comment with some corrections and some perspective that we didn't have before. And thank you for the feedback, guys. We really do appreciate it. On anything, if you guys go through our backlog and you guys notice something isn't quite right, let us know. In the future, definitely let us know. We sometimes we kind of get lost in the
sauce.
We get lost in the sauce. There are a lot of times where I'll comment something in a review and then like the next week I'll realize that it was incorrect, but I won't have a chance to correct it or address it and I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
So if you guys go through the backlog and like, there's a lot of, I'm sure you could probably get a notebook and fill the notebook up with those instances, but you know, we do try to be correct. So thank you guys for the, So thank you guys for the feedback. We really do appreciate it. It was kind of funny that this was like the thing that got so much feedback. Who would have thought Star Citizen would have been the thing that like we would have like probably gotten the most interaction on in a while.
Right.
But
worth it.
Yeah, worth
it. I want you to in the chat in the comments sections to spit on us, but to do it respectfully.
Yeah, please.
respectfully is all that matters.
Yeah, so anything else, Star Citizen-wise, like corrections or things that we need to address?
No. No, I don't think so. I did see one comment saying about the specs, saying that if you would want to play this game with 32 gigs of RAM and a newer GPU, which it like that. I mean, that's the goal for everyone.
Yeah.
And that is super tough to do. Just because the game isn't optimized yet, like fully optimized, to run on the standard, because it is new and it's an alpha. Well, it's not new, but it's been an alpha so long, and they just did a change the engine, a big upgrade and stuff like that. So right now, like, I don't see that as like a feasible thing to, you know, require that to enjoy your time, play the game with, you know, 32 gigs of RAM and you know, a 3060 or 3070. Like, I fortunately have 32 gigs of RAM, but I don't have a 3090 in a Threadripper and stuff like that. So, you know, it's comments like those that, like, I understand where you're coming from, but sometimes that's just really isn't feasible, like, for everyone to have that, especially in our platform of budget gaming. Because as Mandachi said, that is our main goal here, is to provide valuable information or valuable opinions of ours on whether something is worth purchasing or not. Because not everyone has $1,000 to, you know, purchase the biggest package of this game, let alone, you know, $10,000 to build a super rig to play the game. So that's all I have.
Yeah. As I like to sum it up, if the game is requires a $10,000 machine to play, then it's not worth playing.
Right. I'd rather go
It'd
to
be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so moving on, guys, thank you for the feedback, but I have some feedback to give to a dev. I played a game yesterday on my stream called Alone in Hell. And while I was playing it, so if those who don't know, like, a thing I've been doing lately is I actually select 4 or 5 indie games at least once a week. I kind of just go through them on stream. I take the recordings and I upload them to YouTube. Which, by the way, second YouTube channel, check it out. Danny K streams and highlights, so you guys can catch that stuff there. But I was kind of playing it, and I realized it really wasn't anything that I wanted to put up on the second channel. But because this was the dev's first game, I wanted to give them some constructive feedback and kind of and put this space out there for them to check out. So the game itself is a pretty short horror game. It's about 10-ish minutes or so. So nothing super long. And they say on their itch.io page, I believe it was on the itch.io page, that it was made in under 24 hours. So credit to them. You know, they made a product in 24 hours. The story and the setting, I'm not going to take points away for, because this was like a game jam or a challenge for them to build in 24 hours. The premise is that you wake up and slowly realize that you are in some sort of purgatory / hell pocket dimension where you are alone and paying for the crimes you committed. So here are some of the things that this dev did right the first, just like to start, right? The criticism sandwich here, or the critique sandwich, I should say. The game runs really well, at least on my machine. No chugging, no frame drops or anything like that. So good job. You didn't do anything that like made the game run poorly. Excellent job. Your environments seem to be really functional, and nothing is like too out of place or gets you stuck or creates invisible walls or, you know, lag or anything like that. Like, you don't get like rocks on the ground or, you know, stuff like that, that would usually like create weird stuff with camera. Nothing like that happens. I will say, in terms of the environment design though, there was one thing I noticed with like a dinner set, like table and chairs, that they were out of scale. They were very large, kind of like you were a child, like a toddler almost. Like that's how it like that's how this the scale was like the you know you're almost like a 2 year old walking around them, and then the environment and the color palette is all pretty well done, except for a few small things like the text writing, the text writing that like it would appear on walls and stuff like that, just probably could have been blended a little bit better, but everything else, everything matched, everything looked good, everything was aesthetically like aesthetically cohesive, so that was all great. Here are a few here are kind of like a few of my critiques kind of on the more technical side of things for the game design. And the first big thing for me was the sound design that I noticed really needed a bit of work. Some of the sound design assets were definitely stock assets. You know, they just kind of stuck out as stock assets and sounded out of place in the environment that I was in. Very notably, it was like the baby cry. Like, it just didn't sound like it was coming from the place I was in. It was also a noise that, like, when a text appeared on the wall, that noise was incredibly loud and very repetitive. And in the short time I played, it became really annoying. So kind of one of those things to avoid something like that where it's constant and it's loud. It's not really scary as much as it is annoying, and it like kind of grates on the nerves after like the fourth or fifth time. And that's like just something for devs in general. If you're like making like these PSX horror style games, noise is a very particular thing in horror, and you have to be careful that like you don't grate. You don't give like ear fatigue to the player, right? Because if you're just like sending a wall of noise at them, trying to like scare the shit out of them all the time, they're eventually just going to get numb to it, and it's not going to have its effect. So kind of figuring out the balance of like when to use noise and how to use noise effectively is I think kind of a skilled is a learned skill. Another thing that I noticed was that some of the notes that you find in the game, you probably want to proofread them a little bit better before publishing, like making sure officers isn't spelled offers, which, you know, I work in marketing, right? My biggest, the biggest part of my job is writing emails, marketing emails. And I constantly find myself doing that. We thankfully have like a stopgap where we have to send it out to all of our stakeholders where someone had like at least 4 people read these emails before they go out. And I make really stupid spelling mistakes all the time. So I like right there, like I'm right with you. I understand how that goes. So those are some of the critiques that I have. Now this next part here, I'm taking into account the 24-hour like time constraint. And you being a first time dev, this is just mostly me offering ideas and thoughts and inspiration, potential here. The first thing for me is that games really need to have, choices or some sort of fail state, right? Like there was a debate a while, like years and years ago, with Total Biscuit, and I want to say the devs have gone home, where like, what is a game? And Total Biscuit's kind of definition of a game is something, there has to be some sort of fail state, right? There has to be either like you hit a game over screen or you don't get the ending you want, right? Those are both fail states. You know, maybe one could say that like, not getting the ending you want maybe isn't exactly like a fail state, but you know, that's how I kind of think about it. And so having something more than just kind of going through the environment would be appreciated. So adding some choices like a door to have to pick, like, do I pick door A or door B? Do I go down the left hall or the right hall? needing to find something like getting a key or, you know, unlocking something to move forward. Because a fail state could just simply be that you don't move forward, right? You don't progress. That could, you know, I would consider that a fail state. Or just like having some dialogue options, a really fundamental part of the game. You know, something there was kind of just missing. Again, taking into the fact that this dev says this is their first time, they made it in 24 hours. I'm not really docking points, just kind of providing some areas that they could, you know, move forward in and maybe improve on next time. Notes that were kind of lit around, they were a fine addition. I think they served a decent purpose. But the environmental storytelling could use a little bit of work, a little bit more fleshing out. It seemed like if this was telling the story of someone who is being punished for their crimes, their sins, it was a little too vague. From what I gathered, it seemed like maybe they killed somebody, maybe they killed a kid. But that was just kind of vague, and, you know, maybe fleshing that out, maybe making it more explicit, you know, telling a proper story, inside the game, would be, you know, it, reinforcing some of your ideas if you're, you know, and the message that you're trying to get across. Overall, I don't think the project is bad, especially if the goal was to put out something that worked and didn't crash or didn't bug out or didn't glitch. So really, honestly, a good job in regards to like producing a product that worked and functioned as it was intended, at least as I see it, as what I saw on itch.io and what I played, it was like a product that functioned and worked well. And worked as intended. I believe the product I got was as intended by you. So good job there. And hopefully you get lots of constructive criticism and you are able to expand your skills in future projects. And if you do, let me know. My DMs are open at Danny K, DanieCae. Send me a message. Mr. Green, Mendachi, were either of you in my stream yesterday? Did you guys watch me play this?
I didn't catch you until you were hunting.
I gotcha. Did not, because I was too busy having a brain aneurysm.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So,
because that's when I had a conversation with my ISP. So.
Oh.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's my feedback for Alone in Hell. Again, I played it. It wasn't anything I wanted to really put up on the channel. But I did want to give some feedback and provide some thoughts for the dev. Do you guys want to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Certainly.
We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay right there.
Hello, Danny is being lazy and has decided to have a text-to-speech robot record this message for you instead of doing it himself. He wants you to know that you can help support the show by telling your friends. Telling your friends about the show helps us grow and help more people save money while gaming. It's also free. You can tweet about us, share us on Facebook, or even send a message directly to your friends and family with a link to the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a comment. That helps tell the algorithm that you like this kind of content and would recommend it. Thanks for watching and listening. The show will resume in just a few moments. P.S. Green Elite has bad taste in Pokemon.
And we're back. Guys, thank you for letting us take a break. Let me get my mouse. There's my mouse. There it is. And Mendachi, take us to Indie World.
Oh, man. What a wonderful place Indie World is. Holy cow. Also, if you don't understand what the hell Indie World is, allow me to tell you. So Nintendo decided they would kind of launch this this kind of new home for indie games. It is called Indie World. And you can actually look this up on Nintendo.com now. They still have their press release from the 11th on there. It's about 24 minutes. And it goes through like what to expect from like their indie game kind of showcase and indie games on the platform to come. Which is pretty neat. Now, in the showcase in general, we get some titles that were You know, like get out your bingo cards. It's out now. It's available now at the time of this showcase. And then also like sometime in 2023. But it's like one of those really awesome things where an indie game developer can get their game in front of literally millions of eyes in a wholesome way, of course, not an eldritch horror way. But yeah, so anyway, a lot of the games that were shown were very comfy. What I would say is almost like cottage core aesthetic. A lot of people I've been seeing on Twitter are kind of like finally being 100% burnt out on Animal Crossing. And there are some really, really awesome games for those people that love Animal Crossing or Stardew Valley a shit ton. Like, get ready to see your Twitch fill up with people playing Ooblets, which is you and your custom character in a happy little, like, village-style setting. Kind of, I would say it's closer to, like, Stardew and kind of with the farming aspect. So there's a lot of that. There's a whole bunch of like very squishy, plushy looking friends. It's overall just a really comfy game. And they showed off a game called Soundfall. This was one of the games that was like, this is available now. It actually looks pretty cool. They called it like a looter shooter, something action adventure game. To me, this is just straight up a rhythm character action game, I think is a better way to put it. So the combat is literally based on rhythm. So if you've played games like, I believe Celeste did this, or not Celeste, what was it? It looked like A Link to the Past. It doesn't matter. But also things like, say, what was it? Red Hood? What was it? That Rev covered, he loved it so much. There's a lot of rhythm combat in that.
Oh, golly. So,
yeah, it's been a minute, man. But yeah, I would highly recommend checking that out if you like rhythm games, if you like character action games. It's kind of an isometric kind of top-down view. There is a bit of a looter shooter aspect to it, where you do kill enemies and they drop loot. But I mean, like, that's most games. So I would hazard to actually call this a rhythm combat character action game. So that was pretty cool, very neon and pretty. If you're into more like games that kind of pass time and are like minimalistic, easy to look at, Mini Motorways is for you. That's more of like a digital like car rug. You and your like Hot Wheels rolling around on the streets, but it's kind of fun. There's a little bit of a puzzle aspect to that. If you like games like Unpacking, there are a few of those. Or if you liked Spiritfarer, there's a game that's fairly close to that by a new Australian developer. And that looked kind of interesting, but I'm not much in the way of like narrative storytelling games. And it was just like, hey, everything's going on at the same time. And it was a lot. There were several games that kind of seemed like they followed the same formula kind of over and over. So I kind of hope that in the future, when we return to Indie World, perhaps we get to see some different stuff. There was also an interesting game for friends of mine that I know loved Limbo or Inside. Silt looked pretty interesting. It's kind of like an old gods eldritch kind of storytelling basis where you play as a diver that gets the ability to possess different sea creatures to progress through levels and do puzzles, all while being attacked by these forgotten things that live in the deep. And that's by a UK developer. That looked pretty interesting. Otherwise, there is a ton of indie games that have been, say, coming out on Steam. Some of them have been on PlayStation and Xbox as well. But a lot of them are now finding a home on Nintendo Switch. The one thing, again, that I'm going to draw back to that was a drawback of this was that they were also announcing indie games that aren't coming out for at least a year. Some of them just had, you know, these vague 2023 release dates. I hope that they do more of these indie game showcases because it's such a big thing for indie game developers. It would just be nice if we had a little bit less time, you know, between these releases. So an indie game that's coming out in 2023, when we're getting thousands of them, and when some of these ideas, like I said, are almost kind of done and redone, things kind of get lost quite quickly in this constantly flowing kind of e-commerce and this hobby. So I would highly recommend that you actually check out the video on YouTube. It's nice and segmented so you can catch things by title. But that's really the gist of it. I hope that it's something that they keep doing, you know. It'd be really nice to see more indie games coming to the Switch.
Yeah. So I do have a quick question for you. Like the presentation itself.
Yes.
I saw a lot of people saying it was shit.
It was not great, man. A lot of us, it's pretty easy to remember in the year that most people try to forget, in 2020, when we kind of saw a lot of the digital showcases and stuff like that. We had disembodied voices telling us to be excited about trailers that didn't show us much. It was kind of that. We had some gameplay of some of these indie games. The whole time we had disembodied narrators kind of walking us through. Then we'd have a short blurb from the developers behind a title. And then here's a short segment on this. Overall, it feels like whoever put it together quite possibly could have given us a little bit more of like a quilt pattern. It felt very samey almost all the way through. So a lot of things that were here that might be really rad, they all kind of end up blending together and get kind of lost in it.
Okay. This wasn't a show for me.
Yeah.
Green, was this a show for you at all?
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I had not much interest in actually watching it.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I skimmed some articles. It just wasn't anything for me.
Yeah. For instance, like if you go to their indie world now, one of the things that I would have to say is a pretty big mark against it is in their indie section, we have some things that were shown on the 11th, like Soundfall is at the top there. But and so as many motorways, Don't Starve Together, which has been out since, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Don't Starve Together originally dropped in either 2012 or 2013 on PS3. So this revamped edition, the Don't Starve Together, not just Don't Starve, is arriving sometime spring 2022. It's like, I feel like that was a game that probably could have come out forever ago. But it's mixed in there with say games like Unpacking or Tetris Effect Connected alongside Oublets. It's like, why don't you take the things that were in your showcase, put them at the top? Because if I watch this video and I'm like, I'm excited about that, I want to be able to scroll down and actually just find that in your shop. And if you go to this the indie collection on their store, you're seeing things from like mid 2021, and it's like none of them have anything to do with it. And again, you're going to see things that are very samey, like Cozy Grove, Garden Story, Islanders. They all have this kind of samey feel to them. So I don't know. I would hope that the production for Indie World kind of grows. I hope that their showcase, whether it's on their digital store page or on a video, a showcase, that it actually gets better.
Excellent. Anything else on Indie World Showcase that we wanted to discuss?
Not really anything, man. Just if you're into, say checking out indie games and helping indie developers out by buying their games and trying them out, it's interesting. I would still say that if you have a gaming PC, check it out on Steam first, if you can. Just because, you know, there's all of the things that come with indie games. Some of them are going to be awesome. Some of them are going to be like, this is kind of buggy. This is like a really wild idea. I don't know about this. There is one game specifically other than, say, Soundfall that I'd like to highlight, but it's one that doesn't come out for a very long time from Devolver Digital as a publisher, Gunbrella. If you're going to look at anything from this showcase, go watch the trailer for Gunbrella, because that was wild.
Excellent. Green.
Everhood. That's what it was.
Green, take us to PlayStation Land. Is that a thing?
PlayStation Land is a real thing, Danny. Sony has released info on its relaunch of PlayStation Plus, which includes a tier plan, games included in tiers, and more. The lowest tier remains pretty much the same as you would right now. This includes your online multiplayer access and a few games each month that you can scoop up for free. The middle tier will include Sony Studio exclusive titles like God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, Bloodborne, The Last of Us Remastered, and of course, the Uncharted series. This tier will also include some titles from other studios, though, like Control, Hollow Knight, and Outer Wilds, just to name a few. The biggest pull for the top tier subscription is supposed to be the inclusion of classic titles. But for right now, it is missing PlayStation 2 emulation and not a massive library of classic games yet. I emphasize on yet. Now, a few games to mention are Tekken 2, Siphon Filter, and Bioshock that will be included on this tier. Of course, this is speculated to increase after launch, much like Xbox Game Pass wasn't massive on launch either. Rome wasn't built in a day. So a lot of people are raising a big stink about the top tier section not having like PlayStation 2 games or a big massive selection, but this is a relaunch, and this is essentially like it's starting a whole new Game Pass-esque style with these higher tiers. So not everything's going to be on there at day one, and Games Pass was not the exact same when they first launched it. I mean, there was a few titles and then it built over time. Hopefully this is a really good relaunch for the PlayStation Plus for people who are playing on PlayStation 4 and 5. But I don't foresee it being as big as, like, say, Games Pass, where you can play on PC too. Unless Sony does something major, this is more of a specifically for PlayStation users.
Yeah. What does the pricing structure break down to again?
I didn't see anything on the pricing structure, but I can look it up real quick.
Yeah, because I'm curious. The current service is what? Like $5.99 a month? Something like that for like just the base service?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, because I think that PS Now is technically 10. So if you do PS Now and PS Plus, it's like 15.
Yeah, so it's launching on June 13th.
Yeah, so what I'm seeing for the PlayStation Plus Essential for... I'm just going to do the 12-month breakdowns. Actually, I'm going to do the one-month breakdowns.
Yeah, I would do it 1 month. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, so for 1 month, it's $9.99. 12 months, it's $59.99. That's just the essentials. That doesn't get you that gets you the core features, online access, PS4, two PS4 and one PS5 game to download every month, exclusive discounts and more. The PlayStation Plus Extra, which gets you the game catalog with hundreds of downloadable PS4 and PS5 games, that's $14.99 a month and $99.99 a month for a year. And then the Plus Premium, which gets you all of that and the classic PlayStation games, the classics catalog, and cloud streaming, $17.99 a month, and 12 months is $119.99 a month. Of course, it's all American.
Not a month.
I'm sorry, a year. Yes. Sorry. Thank you for the catch.
That would be insane.
That would be.
Yeah. I would like to spend $120 a month for this, please. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. No, sorry. For a year. $120 a year. So Green, you're kind of on the fence of saying like this is really just for PlayStation fans.
Yeah, I mean it really is, because the only way you're gonna experience this is for PlayStation. And if you like those PlayStation exclusive titles, then and you don't have them, let's say you were itching for a PS3 game that you played 15 years ago, but now you have a PS5, this premium a tier would possibly allow you to play that.
Correction, PlayStation 3 was not 15 years ago, okay?
Oh, pish posh applesauce.
Okay, look, I am not that old. I am not that old.
well, the PS4 was 8 years ago.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
It's almost 18 years. It was 2006, November 11th.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking at it right now and I'm staring death in the face.
I will fight you.
Oh my God, is this a wrinkle? What the fuck?
It's not fun now that the youngest member of my team at work is now calling me old and my girlfriend is finding gray hairs. I don't believe they're gray hairs. I don't believe there's a gray hair on this fucking head. But
all
it's
my
not
teeth
fun.
Are going to fall out of my mouth right now, and I will suddenly become very aware of gravity.
Danny, I don't think you understand. 2023, I will be 30 years old. I'm having a midlife crisis as we speak.
Dude, I've got 3 weeks. I've got 3 weeks.
I don't have a child yet, Danny. You know what that feels like? Like, I'm going to be 30 and not have a child. And like, when I eventually do have a child, I'm going to be that dad who is like 60 years old, dropping their kid off at school, you know, like that shit.
I just now had the realization that I'm about almost 10 years older than my mom than when she had me. But anyways,
exactly, my mom was 20.
So Mendachi, what are your thoughts on PlayStation Plus,
man? Okay, so here's the thing, is the game lineup is probably the most upsetting thing about it. I'm not seeing anything like Legend of Legaia, Legend of Dragoon, or say Bouncer or Shadow Hearts, or any of these games that have been like lost to obscurity because there have never been remasters, there have never been remakes. I'm not even sure if the masters of these games even exist anymore. Like, these games are probably long since dead and gone, and the only way to find them is to, say, like, spend $450 on a four-disc game that someone found in their granddad's attic who died at the ripe old age of, like, say, 35. It's really upsetting, honestly. Or, like, the games that cut their teeth on the PlayStation, like any of the fucking Metal Gear games. There's no Metal Gear Solid. There's no Metal Gear Solid 2, 3. You know, like, they had the Metal Gear Definitive Edition, which was definitively terrible because it was barely upscaled and ported it just the worst. They played like shit. They handled like crap. It's such an injustice that we don't have even those titles on PlayStation, like, to just play, let alone, say, Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. That is just, like, gone. Like, that was a PS3 game, and that's just gone. Or, not that we've necessarily needed, but, like, Heaven Sword, you know, like, Heavenly Blade, I think it was called. That was like the first game the PS3 really showed alongside Killzone 2, I think it was, to show the new motion capture technology alongside like Andy Serkis playing like the villains and stuff, and the combat was just fluid and amazing, and everyone's like, this is next gen God of War. And then, you know, the next God of War game came out. But yeah, it's, there are so many titles that you could pick from, and instead you pick Tekken 2, and it probably doesn't have rollback, so no one's gonna fucking play it because Katsuhiro Harada doesn't believe that rollback is a thing. So everyone in the States, everyone that's not in Japan will boot up Tekken 2 and not be able to play with their friends because servers are shit. And it's just like, why would you do this? Especially when Tekken 7 is at full price, $40 right now. Granted, in order to get all the characters, you're going to have to drop like $120. But like, definitively, Tekken 7 is the best Tekken that you can play right now and has the biggest player base. And the biggest player base exists on the PlayStation. So these choices, they just don't make any damn sense for me. I'm trying to figure out who this actually is for, because I'm actually going to push back. I'm going to say that as a Sony fan, as someone who grew up with a PlayStation in the house, even before I had an N64, I'm hard pressed, man. I don't see what I'm getting out of this as someone who's been paying for PlayStation Plus since I got a PS3. You know, I don't know, man. I'm pretty upset about it.
Asura's Wrath
does exist on Xbox. I could actually go downstairs, boot up my Xbox One right now, and start up Asura's Wrath.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
as I said, this is just like, this is just starting out. I'm sure that they will add more as time comes. So
they gotta.
This may not be like they're gonna have to. If it's gonna be a subscription service, they're gonna have to continue adding things to it.
Yeah, it does make me look back at our episode where we were talking about like, so how do you think this is gonna measure up with Game Pass? And while we were like, albeit like, we're like, this is shaky right now, like, you know, it's way too foggy to tell, I'm kind of scoffing, and I'm just kind of like, of course, I forgot that Sony was run by aliens that don't understand humans. Like, the next thing I guarantee you that we're going to see on this is either going to be the Ezio collection or Assassin's Creed 3 again. I bet dollars to donuts it's going to be something along like those lines.
The one thing I don't really care about for this is for the newer titles, like Horizon Forbidden West, they're doing a time limited trial for it if you have the premium, which gives you a 3-hour trial period for the game, instead of just like full releasing. Like Game Pass will get like new games on Game Pass that you have no time limit to play. So like for me, that Games Pass, especially since I'm playing on PC, is the better deal. So maybe down the line they'll rework that and get it to where it's like, hey, this is a new title. If you have the premium, you can play it, you know, on top of adding more games, because people like games.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like choices too.
Excellent. I mean, with all things PlayStation, I really don't have much of an opinion. I didn't grow up with PlayStation like consoles in the home. I've never owned one. I've really only ever played on my friends and family's PlayStations. So I don't have a dog in the race. I'm not invested in PlayStation. So I have nothing else really to say. Anything else on this particular topic?
Nah, man. I'm just livid. I'm just livid. I know that our good friend Zombie is also a big fan of Sony. I'm gonna have to hit him up and see what he thinks. But like, man, what a major disservice. What, like, I don't want to say it's a spit in the face, but it's certainly not the move that I was hoping for.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's going to do it for the show this week then. If there's anything else we wanted to talk about.
Nope, just salty.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Green, let's start with you. What you got coming up?
Nothing.
Oh, actually, I know you just kind of like, just like
nothing. Nothing's coming up. YouTube. I'll be working on some YouTube projects this week while I, twiddle my thumbs and stare at my computer screen, hoping something will ever happen.
Yeah.
So twitch.tv/MrGreenElite, and then check out the Next to Nothing YouTube, because I will hopefully, this is a big hopeful, have a YouTube video up on the Next to Nothing YouTube page, hopefully this week. We'll see. I'll try my darndest.
Yeah. By the way, because last week's show did so well, we will be doing another giveaway this week, so make sure.
I forgot about that.
Yes. We'll announce the winner on Twitter for last week's giveaway, and then make sure you guys check out our Twitter on Next to Nothing for this week's giveaway, so you guys can figure out how to so you guys can learn how to enter yourselves in for that. Mandachi, what's coming in for you?
Hey, man. Yeah, we got a lot of fun games, actually, to give away. I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm excited to make somebody's day. It's really exciting. But anyway, I'm kind of in Green's boat. It really just depends on how things look after that technician leaves tomorrow and I get things set up. I'm obviously very hopeful. But I would really like to go back and dive into Weird West and hopefully give a review on that in the near future. And then hopefully I'll be able to play some games with Brent and Vic. So we'll see how that goes. We got to dip our toes in Vermintide 2 a little bit. So Sunbreak is also around the corner. Just going to try and get on Monster Hunter Rise on the Nintendo Switch with some community slots open, typically on Saturdays. And, I'll do quests for you. Let me solo all of your monsters. I'll solo her. I'm looking at you, Raytheon. I'll come for you. Anyway, so other than that, new podcast for two people episodes getting recorded this week. Super excited about that. You can find that on any podcast platform. And if you want to get at me and send me more corrections on all of the lies that I tell on all of my podcasts and on Twitter in general, you can tweet at me at @onlymandachi, or just comment voraciously on our YouTube, comment section. So yeah, just really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Coming up with me. I kind of fucked up on my schedule and I posted it on Sunday. I will not be streaming tomorrow because I have a work thing. I'll be streaming Thursday and then Saturday. Thursday night, probably just going to be some Hunt Showdown. Saturday, I'm probably going to be doing some Master Duel for you guys, because I know people have been wanting me to play Master Duel. Let's do it. Let's have some fun. The YouTube channel, the second YouTube channel, I have a video coming out this Friday. A really short one, and then I have another one coming out on Monday. Otherwise, you guys can find me on Twitter at Danny K, DanieCae. Also, just as like a little testicle tickle here.
Ooh.
We have some really cool projects coming up. Some really cool projects coming up. So do follow us on our social medias when we make those announcements. And hopefully you guys will enjoy what we got coming up. Otherwise, that's it for me. You guys want to wrap up the show?
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for watching and listening to the show. Your time with us is always appreciated, but we're not just interested in your time. We're also interested in your thoughts and opinions. Anything that we talked about this week, let us know what you guys think about those topics in the comments of this YouTube video. If you guys don't want to talk about that stuff, we do have a question of the week. And that is, what's the greatest TV show of all time? Let us know that in the YouTube comments. You can even tweet at us. Tweet me, at Danny K, DanieCae. Green, what's the official Twitter?
At Next to Nothing PC.
So yeah, drop a comment letting us know. Also, make sure you check out all of our shows. If you guys want to know what Green's thoughts are on Star Citizen, go back to the previous show. And yeah, check out all those previous shows as well. If you miss any part of the show or want to take us on the road, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to catch us live, you can do that on Twitch at 7 p.m. Central Time every Tuesday. If you like what we do and want to help support the show, drop a like and subscribe and ring that bell. That really does help us out a ton on YouTube. And don't forget to tell your friends. That's really the top two way to help us out in the long run, is by telling your friends. Other than that, until next week, stay safe, stay healthy, keep fighting the good fights, and we'll talk to you guys again next week. Goodbye!